Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Linning School Watch Wednesday Night Readings. Welcome to Wednesday Night Readings with Linning School Watch. Welcome to Linning School Watch Wednesday Night Readings. We will begin shortly. Thank you. Watch Wednesday Night Readings. This is Diane Lennon, your host, coming to you live from the United States of America. Tonight's show, we are reaching out specifically to Pakistan, but all countries surrounding Pakistan, including all of the Eastern Hemisphere. We hope our listeners from all around the world who are trying to learn English will listen to all our shows because I always speak English. And that way, you can join us any show and on Wednesday or Friday nights and when I have Sunday night occasionally. We are so glad you're with us. We are going to begin tonight with opening in prayer of the Lord's Prayer. We hope you are memorizing it in English. It is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Dear Lord, we give you glory, honor, and praise. For you are our awesome, magnificent, wonderful God, whom we worship and serve daily and serve for the rest of our lives. Lord, we all look forward to that day when we will join together with you in heaven and meet all of our friends around the world that we've come to know. And we're so grateful for our friends and Christian family around the world. Lord, we pray that you would bless each one and anoint those who want to share the word and the gospel and the good news of the Lord Jesus to all their friends and neighbors. Lord, we pray tonight for John Paul, hoping he can call in tonight. He said he was going to try, and we pray, Lord, that that would work out. We pray for their church gathering, Lord, and their financial need that they are facing right now. And John Paul and his family may be required to move. Lord, we pray that you would find a new location and provide the financial need that they have in order to continue in the services they are having to meet the needs of their friends, neighbors, and family around the area where they live. Lord, we pray that you would bless them and honor their sacrifices and their dedication to continue to worship and serve the Lord. We pray that the good works that we all do in the name of Jesus will bring many to the kingdom of God, and that it would achieve your goals and your purposes that you have for the furtherance of your kingdom, and that your name, Lord God, will be glorified, that everyone will have an opportunity to hear of the good news of the Lord Jesus and have that opportunity to receive you into their heart as their Lord and Savior. And we praise you and thank you for it, Lord. And Lord, we just bind the spirits around the world and the universe that might come against the good news and the Lord God's family. Lord, we bind the evil spirits that would harm our Christian brothers and sisters, and we loose the power of your angels on our behalf. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we know for you are the Almighty One, the Omniscient, All-Powerful One, who has the power to overcome all evil in every situation. And we thank you for it, Lord. We praise your name, Lord. We worship you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We are so grateful you're with us tonight. We're planning to read a little bit later in Daniel, either chapter 2 or 3, perhaps both. And I just can't remember if I read chapter 2 for your listening audience, so I will probably read both, Daniel chapter 2 and 3, because I've read 3 in the other group I'm tracking with you. So we're so glad you're here with us, and I try to sing a song in the beginning before my voice gets too hoarse, because the longer I talk, the raspier my voice gets. So this song is from the Bible, from a scripture in Psalm. It's called Thy Loving Kindness, and if you remember it, sing along with me. If you'd like to learn it, try to sing with us. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. Sing it and worship with me and raise your hands to the Lord. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. Praise the name of the Lord. We worship you, Lord God. We lift our hands unto you in praise and adoration to the Lord Jesus. Well, we will take a short break, but it's a wonderful, beautiful song. So please stay tuned. And we will be back with you shortly. We're going to worship together, and we will glorify. This song is sung by Twyla Paris. Let's sing together and worship together. We will glorify. Stay tuned. I'll be right back. glorify you, Lord, the King of Kings, the great I am. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. My friend, are you safe from the danger of eternal punishment, or are you still lost in sin? Have you received salvation? The gift of salvation is when you receive the Lord Jesus into your heart as your Savior. When you receive the Lord Jesus, you become a child of God, and your sins are forgiven. No matter how bad a person you've been, no matter what horrible things you may have done, God will forgive you and cleanse your sins. Why? Because Jesus served as the lamb sacrifice, and by his blood, his shed blood when he died on the cross, our sins are forgiven. When you ask for forgiveness and accept the Lord Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, when you receive Jesus into your life, you're receiving God and Jesus' gift of the Holy Spirit, who will guide you and direct you during your days of your life in your walk as a Christian. If you'd like to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, we're going to give you opportunity later in the broadcast to receive Jesus as your Savior. All you have to do is ask him. Say you believe that Lord Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God, and confess your sins, ask forgiveness, and ask him into your heart. But we will pray with you a little later if you'd like someone to pray with you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're going to take another time here to worship the Lord together, and I think I'm going to try to stay online this time with you and worship the Lord with you. Let's worship the Lord together in Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, and we're learning how to worship the Lord here. Stuart Townsend sings this with us. Lord, I lift your name on high. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's just worship together. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are reading in Daniel as a supplemental text to what we've already studied in Revelation. In Daniel, it talks about the miracles that God has performed and shows his glory. And it gives us faith as Christians to know that the prophetic word of Revelation will indeed come to pass as the Lord God has written in the word. And later on, we're going to read about the world empires in Daniel 7 and 8 and other parts of Daniel that will supplement and confirm and add a little bit to the prophetic word of Revelation as well as the prophetic word of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2 is a long chapter, so I will stop about halfway or so and give us a little break in worship in song again and continue on again to finish the chapter. This chapter is about King Nebuchadnezzar and his dream and how he had called different magicians and soothsayers to tell him what his dream was and what it meant. And we will find out the importance of God in this chapter. Verse 1, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. In other words, he was having difficulty sleeping. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king of Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants thy dream, and we will show the interpretation. Well, you won't believe what the king answered and said to the Chaldeans. The thing is gone for me. In other words, I can't remember the dream. If you will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show me the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. So in other words, he was requesting, almost the impossible, unless they indeed had some kind of magic or divine powers. And we are going to find out what happens here. Verse 7, they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone for me. In other words, I just can't remember it. You need to tell me what the dream was. And if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. In other words, if you can tell me the dream, then I'll know you can interpret it for me. Verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. In other words, only the gods can tell you the answer to this, and the gods aren't living in any flesh here on earth. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Now Babylon, we know today, is in the middle of Iraq, the country of Iraq. And it is still a pivotal location in history and in present day revelation and fulfillment of God's scripture. Babylon has been a very pivotal and important location for God's people, for God's workings of his glory, to show who God is. And it will be interesting to see how the end times play out in relationship with Babylon. Verse 13, and the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty or so urgent from the king? Why are you doing this so fast? Then Arioch made the king the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. So we're going to break there for a few minutes and let's worship together on another song. And stay with me. We'll be back. Let's worship together with the song In Christ Alone by Joanne Hoggy. Let's worship together. We'll be right back. Stay with me.
Ground firm for the fiercest drought and storm.
continuing on in verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth no kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what it is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. In other words, he's told Daniel the king's dream and what it meant. Verse 24. Therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was, was Belteshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. In other words, this dream God is telling you what is yet to come. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. This is your dream. As for thee, O king, my thoughts came into thy mind upon the bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets may known to me what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any living, but for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breastplate and his armor of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Now, there are those who say that each one of these different parts of this statue and the different metals represents certain kingdoms that will come to pass. Let's see what it says here in the scripture. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them into pieces. Now, if that is true, that would mean that these kingdoms that would come to pass would eventually fall apart and be broken into pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away. that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof for the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given unto thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art his head of gold. Now to me that would tell me he's the first kingdom that begins in this part of history that would develop over time. It's a prophetic word here. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. Here this is explaining it, as I said. And another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. Now the kingdom of Babylon, we know in history, was a great, wonderful, and glorious, flourishing society that really discovered and organized many important parts of society that would hereafter become known as the human race, and cultures, etc., developed from this. But each kingdom thereafter, this one, was not quite as good as the head of gold, Babylon. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And this, I'm sure, is what my friend was talking about, to look in the book of the Western civilizations to explain what each one of those kingdoms are. And of course I will do that when I get opportunity. It does tell there, these kingdoms, they come in order after Babylon. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Now, I know that some of these kingdoms that came after Babylon, but I just can't remember offhand without looking it up what order they were. But we know there was the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, the British Empire, the Ottoman Empire. So we'll try to line those up in order for you, hopefully next time, if I can find my book in my library. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. You know, that makes me think of this attempt in current society to mix all kinds of peoples together, and yet we have differences. We have different cultures, and they kind of blend and mix, but they really don't stick one to another, do they? They don't cleave one to another. Like in the United States, we are many one, but yet we're like iron and clay. I wonder if that's the United States. Because we still see that the English have kept their culture. The Mexicans have tried to keep theirs. The Asians, the Japanese, the Chinese still have their foods and their cultures and their celebrations, days of celebration. And so although we're all together and we work together, we really don't cleave one to another, do we? And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom or the sovereignty shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall come to pass hereafter his kingdom, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. And we have seen this come to pass. So we know without a doubt that this prophetic word of God written in Daniel is God's word, and that it was true because it came to pass. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of lords, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler to be chief governor over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Now, we know that meant the city and all the surrounding areas that were connected as a society to the cultural center of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Well, that's a miraculous historical recalling of God's word. It's a historical narrative of when God gave Daniel the prophetic word from King Nebuchadnezzar's dream and what it meant. And you and I today live after that time to have known from studying history that prophecy was indeed fulfilled. Now I'm going to let us worship together again with the Lord for a minute. Then we'll come back and give opportunity for those who want to receive the Lord as their Savior and pray with you then. And then I'll read the next chapter in Daniel 3, because I want to try to keep up with our other group that we're working with. So let's take a short break. And remember, stay with me. We're going to sing together and worship together. Let's worship in Here I Am to Worship with Tim Hughes. Remember to stay with me. I'll be right back, and that you can buy these songs online. Just Google Here I Am to Worship, and you can download all these songs for a fee. I'll be right back.
Step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that makes this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow.
King of all days, oh so high. together wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am.
Time that we're going to take for you to bow down with the Lord God tonight and give your heart to the Lord. But before you do, I want to read a couple of verses. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus 3:5. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is God's best gift, and if we want to see God and be in heaven, we need to receive God's best gift. In John 1:2, but as many as have received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And Jesus said, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. In John 3:3. So let's say this prayer together. Even if you've already received the Lord, perhaps you could say it with those together in a group so they won't feel too uncomfortable. But let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I am separated from you. Please say this with me. I believe that Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for my sins, and I receive your forgiveness. I am willing to turn from my way of walking in darkness and step out into the light and walk with you, Lord Jesus. I now invite you into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior to walk with me and be with me. And I receive the Holy Spirit, your gift of the Holy Spirit, as my guide. I will follow and obey you as the Lord of my life, all the days of my life. In the precious name of Jesus, we thank you, dear Lord. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise the Lord that you have received the Lord Jesus into your heart and your life as your Lord and Savior, and welcome into the family of God. You are now a member of God's family with all rights due you as a child of God, and you can enter into the heaven with the Lord Jesus and our God together, and we look forward to seeing all of you there. Won't that be a great time together, my brothers and sisters? Praise the name of the Lord. Let's just pray right now for those who want deliverance. I know that in areas of the world where Christianity is a little more new than some places, that there are pockets of Satan worshipers and people who are filled with spirits, and there may be those in your area that want to be delivered, that see the goodness of God and they want their lives changed. And we're going to pray right together now with you for deliverance. If any of you are in your service there, you can have the elders and the pastor lay hands on you as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the precious name of Jesus and pray for your covering upon us as we, in the name of Jesus, right now cast out all the evil and demon spirits of the person who wants to be delivered in the name of Jesus. And we pray for those demon and evil spirits to be cast away to a location of your selection, dear God. And we pray that you would fill the temple and the body and spirit of the new Christian with the Lord God's word, with your goodness and your kindness and your love. And help us all, Lord, to keep our temple houses swept of the evil that tries to come back and tempt us. We bind the spirit of Satan in the name of Jesus. And when Satan tempts us, we say together, get thee behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I want no part of you, and I do not want you to have any part of me. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, for this wonderful deliverance. We give you glory, God, for we know that it is only you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that each one of us can be delivered and made completely whole. And we thank you for it and praise your name, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We just thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to worship the Lord a little bit more after we read this next chapter. So let's settle down a little bit and listen again, and we'll let you praise the Lord again after we read chapter 3 in Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He most likely did this after hearing the interpretation of his dream. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at this time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the trumpet, flute, harp, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music. Ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." Well, we see that's going to cause a problem, because we know from studies in the early part of the Old Testament, such as Exodus, that we are not to bow down to any graven image, but to worship only God. So Nebuchadnezzar heard this dream, and then he really didn't follow the path, I believe, that was intended after he heard this, except for God wanted to show his glory. "And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." Now I hope this chapter will help you see that if this ever happens to you, we are not to bow down to these idols or worship them as Nebuchadnezzar is asking. And there may be a time in our near future when a false prophet does a similar thing as this, and we need to make sure that we listen to God and follow his prompting. Verse 8. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, psalter, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Now, I'm just saying to you, as the human nature of humankind seems to be, when they get away from the Lord, that they want to worship other things that are not godly. And when we worship idols or even set other persons in too high of a position in life, that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to remain humble and to worship only the Lord God. Verse 11, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? I just submit to you, brothers and sisters, that perhaps the king here misinterpreted the dream that Daniel told him about this golden head, and he supposedly was the golden head of the statue, and it was really a symbolic meaning of his kingdom, wasn't it? Verse 15, now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, or that's like a trumpet, the flute, harp, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Well, little did King Nebuchadnezzar know that God was going to use the king's proclamation and his works and actions in order to show God's glory and God's power. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace not just to normal temperature, but seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want you to know that the Son of the living God will be with us, even in the midst of a fiery furnace set at 7 times hotter than normal temperature. Praise be the name of the Lord. He loves, takes care of, and watches over his children of God, and has a plan for each one of our lives. Praise the name of the Lord. Verse 26, Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They didn't even smell like their clothes had burned or their hair had burned. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, every nation, and every language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after that sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now, many believe that that indicates that perhaps the king accepted this Lord God as his God. Well, we will see in the chapters thereafter. But at any point, we can see at this point, he did admit and reveal and understand that this was the God of gods, and there was no other God of this might nor this power, including his golden statue that he had built to be worshipped. Praise the name of the Lord. We're going to praise the name of God with Amy Grant as she sings El Shaddai. Let's just worship God the Father in El Shaddai. I'll be right back with you. Stay with me.
On her knees,
Continue to help them to grow in the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, to become mature, self-actualized adult Christians who will be strong in the Lord and fulfill the calling that you have upon their lives and to meet their needs, Lord God. Help them to have the faith in God that they need to accomplish your purposes, that your name will be glorified. And we thank you, Lord, for the miracles we have seen already in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ. For we know that God loves each one of you. God loves his family, and he wants to spend eternity with us after the end of times, and we look forward to those times together in the new Jerusalem, as we taught about in the book of Revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much for being with me tonight. We are coming to the close of another great time together with you and the Lord and the scripture, and we're so thankful you've been with us, and I look forward to our next time. Today's show is dedicated to the people of Pakistan who speak Urdu, and apparently John Paul was not able to call in tonight, but we know that from time to time he is able to call in and interpret some for you. But we hope that you will play and enjoy this radio show, knowing it's dedicated to you and all your neighbors around your area of the world in the Eastern Hemisphere. We're so grateful and thankful for you. And remember, you can listen to any of our archive shows on www.blogtalkradio.com/Diane-Lenning. And if you'd like to contact me, I am on Facebook. You can friend me or chat with me. I can't chat too long, though. I can usually only chat a couple of minutes, and then I move on to the next person. So please understand that. And I do have two pages, so you can friend on one or the other. That way I can get more people on. And that's probably the best way for you to chat with me, because emails from foreign countries don't seem to get to me. I've had a friend from Africa try it, and his emails have not gotten to me yet. So I would suggest you try Facebook, which is www.facebook.com. It is free, and you can set up an account. I would suggest you upload a picture of yourself, because otherwise you look like an inactive account, and many of us delete those accounts. So please upload a picture. We look forward to being able to chat with you. We're so glad you've been with us. And may God bless you and be with you. Remember, God loves you, and so do I. Take care, my friends. Until next time, this is Diane Lenning, your host. Bye until next time. Bye-bye.